We present Fit for a King. Welcome to the first night of A New Play for Easter by David Nunn. And we're going over now to join the audience as he sets the scene.
Well, a very good morning, everybody. I'm happy to say that we can now start. Now, you're all very, very welcome indeed. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate that. It's tremendous. And we're going to take you back to the events of the very first Good Friday. Now, it was at that terrifying moment, you will remember, when Jesus was arrested, that the nerve of his disciples cracked completely. And we're told that they all forsook him and fled. And nine of them must have run for their lives back up the Mount of Olives to the home of Mary and Martha in Bethany, where they'd been staying. And that was a terrifying moment for them all. And so that meant that the arrest party were free to take off their strangely unprotesting prisoner unhindered. But little did they know that they were being followed. Because way back there, lurking in the shadows, came Peter and John. It was an extraordinarily brave thing to do, but they were driven on by their great love for Jesus. Well, sadly, as most of us know, a few minutes later, even Peter found his courage cracking up under the strain, and we know he denied three times that he knew Jesus. So that just left John. And John had to make his sad way home to Jerusalem. He had a house in Jerusalem, where the mother of Jesus and his other close relatives were staying. And it was there that he was to relate to them the absolutely appalling happenings of the night. And so the little party of Jesus' most faithful supporters found that they had been split in two. There was John with the mother of Jesus and the other relatives back in Jerusalem. And there were the nine disciples with Mary and Martha and Lazarus over the Mount of Olives in Bethany. And neither party had any idea what was happening to the others. And they were all terrified that at any moment there might be a knock on the door heralding an arrest party who was after them too. That at any moment they too might be hauled off to suffer with Jesus. So it was a terrifying moment for everybody concerned in this great drama. Well, we'll be going over to the home in Bethany and in Jerusalem to see just what is going on. Now, the play is entitled Fit for a King. And you're going to hear those words at two significant moments throughout the drama. So your task, should you choose to accept it, is to be very observant and see if you can spot where they come and also who, what, or where are described as being fit for a king. Do you think you can do that? Fit for a king. So now I think that's quite enough by way of introduction, and we're going to go over to the house in Jerusalem where John is still reeling over the disaster of the night.
Peter, wherever have you been? Do you know what's happened?
Yes, he's dead.
Yes, he's dead. But where were you? One minute you were warming yourself over that fire, and the next you disappeared. I've looked everywhere for you.
John, I can't even talk about it. It was just too dreadful.
Come on, Peter. I got you into that courtyard. What happened?
Well, it was so tense. I just cracked. The girl at the door, she recognized me at once. You're one of his disciples. And you know what I said? No way. I just couldn't help it. Oh, God have mercy. Not that I expect he will after what's happened.
Go on.
It was so cold. That's why I joined them round the fire. I was terrified. I tried to keep in the shadows, but the firelight must have caught my face. Then someone said, "You're one of them." Oh, no, I failed him again. But I just couldn't drag myself away, not while they'd got Jesus in there.
And then?
And then, it seemed to go on forever, that waiting. And then, yet another one. "You're certainly one of them. Can tell it by your accent. Can't mistake a Galilean anywhere." Oh, no.
Get a grip on yourself, Peter.
"You don't understand, John. That's when it happened."
What happened?
It was the very moment when they'd brought Jesus out into the courtyard. While I was cursing and swearing I'd never known him, he turned and looked straight at me. It just went through me like a sword, that look. So full of grief and love. It was so brief, so that he wouldn't betray me. Me, who just denied him 3 times. And at that very moment, oh no, I shall never forget it.
Well, go on.
And then, out of the silence of the night, that sound. It'll ring in my ears forever.
What sound?
A single, solitary cockcrow.
Well, what's so special about that?
John, don't you remember? It's just what Jesus said when I'd been boasting I'd never let him down. "I'm ready to go with you to prison and death." That's what I said. Can't you remember what he said? "Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times.
Oh my word! He did, didn't he?
It's all happened just as he said. And it's all my fault. He always knew me better than I know myself.
Come on, Peter. It's not just you. We're all to blame. It's just what he said on the way to Gethsemane. You'll all fall away because of me this night. He said it was written, "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered."
Well, we're certainly scattered right now. We don't even know where the others are.
Well, his mother is here with my mother, Salome. I took her away before the end. Jesus told me to care for her. But where were you? I didn't see you there. I didn't see any of the others there.
Well, after the look that Jesus gave me, they took him off. And I managed to slip away unnoticed. Don't ask me where I've been. Haven't a clue. In the end, I seemed drawn to follow the great crowd to Golgotha. I was terrified of being recognized. And terrified of seeing Jesus face to face after what's happened. Well, I couldn't get near the front anyway.
So you didn't see him at all?
Well, only from the back of the crowd.
Oh dear, Peter. It was incredible. They all mocked him. The rulers, the soldiers, the criminals. The nails were tearing his body. And the jeering was tearing his heart. It was awful. Just watching it was unbearable.
You could sense that, even at the back of the crowd.
So you didn't hear what Jesus said? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's what he said.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. What have I done? I did know what I was doing.
Listen, Peter, you've got to be strong. Jesus would have wanted it that way. Boy, was he strong. He told us to love our enemies. And that's just what he was doing right up to the very end.
Oh.
Come on, Peter, I haven't finished. After a while, one of the criminals fell silent. I think he was taking it all in, hearing all the evil being flung at Jesus and how he just took it. Never a word of protest, no self-pity. And that sick title Pilate puts on the cross to mock the religious leaders. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. I think this criminal could only see the king part of the sign because he came out with something really incredible.
Go on.
He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come as king."
Well, he didn't have much time left to remember anything.
No. You don't understand. I know what he meant.
Which was?
Well, it was as if all the evil in the world was being flung at Jesus. But it's as if he was absorbing it. It wasn't mastering him. He was mastering it. Ruling over it, if you like. Like a king. It couldn't break that wonderful love of his. It's as if he really was the king. That criminal saw it. I know he did.
Ah.
Wait, you haven't heard what Jesus said to him.
Well?
He said, today you'll be in paradise with me.
He said that?
Yes. He was on that cross because of his claim to be the king. And there he was, as confident as ever, welcoming that man into his kingdom.
They're onto us.
Shh. I'll go check. Not a sound.
Be careful.
It's Mary. Mary, what news now?
I've just come from... Oh, Peter, thank God you're here. We've been so terribly worried about you. Are you all right?
Don't press him, Mary. He's terribly upset.
What? Aren't we all?
What's the latest? I had to get back here to care for his mother.
Oh, John, it was incredible. After you left, we suddenly realised that they'd soon be chopping down his body and flinging it into a common grave with the criminals. It was awful. But just then, that rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, approached us. Well, he must have read our thoughts, because he said, "Don't worry, leave this to me." And off he went. We hadn't a clue what he meant. But then a little while later, we saw him coming back with Nicodemus. You know, that timid one who would only meet Jesus at night because he was too scared to be seen with him in public. Well, there they were. They went up to the centurion and they had a private word. And then Joseph came back over and said he got permission from the governor to bury Jesus in his own new tomb. And, well, would we like to help?
You don't say.
Yes, yes, there they were. Joseph had brought a huge quantity of linen to wrap the body, and Nicodemus and lots of spices. It must have cost a fortune. I have never seen anyone more determined than those two. It was as though the death of Jesus had totally transformed them.
Go on.
Well, then, they got the body down. Oh, John, it was terrible to watch. And they were absolutely covered in the blood of Jesus at the end. But it was almost as though they considered it to be an honour.
An honour?
Yes, yes, an honour. So then off we all set. James's mother Mary was with me, and Joseph asked Joanna and Susanna to come along too. He seemed to know Joanna quite well. In fact, they helped him to lay the body out. Mary and I watched from outside of the tomb.
No, not the one that he just cut out from the rock. It must have cost a fortune.
Yeah, a tomb fit for a king. We couldn't believe it ourselves. They all had to work so fast because there was so little time before the Sabbath started. No time to wash the body or use the usual ointments. But they did it. And then Joseph's servants rolled the stone back across the entrance. Joanna and Susanna, they've gone back to Herod's palace. And James's mother Mary has come back here with me. John will have to stay the night. There is no time to get back to Bethany now.
Shh! I'll go check. Not a sound. It's Clopas. Clopas, come in quick.
Thanks, John. What a day. What a day. I never thought it would come to this. I've just been trying to comfort the ladies.
How are they now?
My dear wife Mary's comforting them, attempting to comfort them, I should say. But what can you say?
Listen, I've got to get back to Bethany and see how the others are. I raced here just after they'd arrived. They were absolutely terrified. They must have run all the way there just after Jesus was arrested. Oh, God knows if they've heard the news of what has happened today. Oh, what about my sister Martha and Lazarus? They will be sick with worry about us too.
But we can't break the law about the Sabbath. We've just got to wait until it's over.
We can set off tomorrow afternoon. We can get to the top of the Mount of Olives before it ends. That distance is allowed. So we'll be able to do the last bit from there the moment the Sabbath is over.
No, no, we can't wait that long.
It's the only thing to do, I'm afraid. I'll come with you, and my Mary too. Don't forget, the younger James is our son. We're both sick with worry about him too, and all the others.
Well, if you say so.
At least it will relieve them to know that Peter and John are safe.
Salome will have to stay here to comfort Mary, but when the Sabbath is over, she could buy the spices for us to anoint his body first thing on Sunday morning.
All settled then. Look, we've all got to get some rest. We'll need all our strength for tomorrow. Let's say goodnight to the others. Come on.
Calm down, Matthew. There's nothing we can do right now.
Can't just sit around here in Bethany doing nothing. We must get back to Jerusalem to find out.
Well, you heard what those travellers just said. The whole city knows they've killed Jesus.
No, I can't. I won't believe it. We've got to get over there in person and know for sure.
Matthew, it's far too dangerous. They really have killed Jesus. They'll be after us too. We've got to lie low.
It's unbelievable. After all we've seen him do, how could he allow this to happen?
It's just what I said all along. When we set out for Jerusalem, I said, let's go with him so we can die with him. It's what I said, and was I right?
Come on, Thomas, we don't know for sure. We mustn't lose hope.
And what about Peter and John? What's happened to them? They must have been caught when they arrested Jesus.
Thomas, please, things are bad enough without you making them worse.
If Jesus is really dead, they'll have killed them too.
Thomas, please. Remember Martha and Lazarus, it's their house.
And what of Mary? She raced off as soon as we arrived to see what was happening. Haven't heard a word from her. Perhaps they've got her too.
Thomas, please.
And what of his poor mother? Jesus was so careful to keep our Passover a secret. You know what's happened? Judas has blown our cover. They'd have got them all by now, including your dad, James.
If I could get my hands on Judas, I'd kill him!
Perhaps you won't have to, James.
Mary, thank God you're all right. Clopas, Mary, what news?
Jesus is dead. I was there until the bitter end.
There, what did I tell you?
Thomas, please!
It's just too dreadful. I can't begin to tell you.
What about the others? Are they all right?
All right? Well, they're still alive, if that's what you mean.
Are they all together? Where are they? Is anyone missing?
They're all at John's house. They're lying low. They daren't be seen. Peter is there with John, and John's parents, Salome and Zebedee, and of course Mary herself.
And what about Judas? Surely he can't be with them.
James, you won't have to kill him. He has killed himself.
What? He can't have.
Yes, yes. We just found out as we were leaving. His body has been found. It is a horrible sight.
It seems he hung himself, and in the heat of the day, his body all swelled up and burst.
What an end. To think he was one of us.
One of us? Remember, Jesus said one of us would betray him. He said it would be better for that man if he had never been born.
Listen, listen. We've got to get back to Bethany. There wasn't time to finish the preparations for the burial because of the Sabbath. So, Mary, here, we said we'd meet up with Joanna and Susanna at the tomb. Joanna has some spices already, and Salome is buying some for us right now.
Oh, dear Mary, so very kind. Just like you. So you were right after all.
What do you mean?
Well, here you are preparing to anoint his body. But the last time we were here, you anointed Jesus then. He said you were preparing his body for burial. Did you realise that at the time? He certainly did.
Well, it was an overwhelming impulse. I mean, Jesus told us that he was going to have to suffer and die. We all heard him many times.
Dear Mary, you were always so sensitive to everything he said, just like John.
And now it's all happened, just as he predicted.
Yes, just as he predicted.
Look, the ladies must get some sleep. We've all got to be back first thing in the morning.
Good idea. We could all certainly do with it. Come on, this way. After you, Mary.
Who is it? It's all right. They're back safely. Mary! Clopas! Mary! Are they all safe?
Yes, lad, and jolly thankful to hear that you're safe too. But shattered, just like us.
Thank God they're there.
Oh, you're back safely. I've been so worried. I'm all ready. I bought the spices yesterday evening.
Oh, then we can get started at once.
Don't you want a bite to eat first?
No, we're fine. We've planned to meet Joanna at the tomb itself.
Clopas, you stay here with the others. You must be exhausted. I'm going with them. This is women's work.
Well, if you're sure you can manage.
Don't worry, Clopas. We won't be too long. Keep an eye on his mother. She's not as young as we are, and she's had a dreadful night.
Let's go, then. We'll see you later.
Take care.
Come and have some breakfast, Clopas. You must have left so early.
Thanks, Peter. I wouldn't say no.
Mary! Come in and join us.
Well, thank you, John. Clopas, you're back.
Hello, Mary, love. We've just arrived. The two Marys have gone straight to the tomb with Salome.
Oh, dear Clopas, how fortunate I am to have you with me. You've always been such a tower of strength to me, right from the very beginning. My dear Joseph was so thankful to have you as his brother. How you supported him when the news broke that I was pregnant. He felt so alone, but you were there for him.
Dear Mary, we've been through some very deep waters.
And now you're right here for me too. And you too, dear John. It's no wonder my dear son committed me into your care. None of the others understood him like you. He always thought the world of you.
Dear Mary, I suppose I'll have to call you Mother now.
I've tossed and turned the whole night. I just don't understand. How could it come to this? And yet the signs were there right from the start. Simeon said a sword would pierce my heart and that Jesus would be a sign to be spoken against. Well, he was certainly right.
Ah! They've stolen his body! They've stolen his body!
Mary, Mary, what on earth's the matter?
Well, they've taken his body! They've taken his body! The tomb is empty!
What do you mean?
His body's gone! The tomb is empty!
No way!
He's gone! His body's gone! The tomb is empty! Maybe you'd better go see for yourself!
We will. Come on, John, quick.
Let's go. Mary, get a grip of yourself. What's going on?
Well, the stone has been rolled away. Rolled away, I tell you. We could see from the entrance that the tomb was empty. The others, they're just going inside to see. I've dashed over here to tell you.
I don't think I can take any more.
Come, my dear. I'm sure the boys can sort it out. There must be a perfectly simple explanation. Mary, you must keep calm, for Mary's sake.
Oh, I'm going back to see.
Mary, you stay here. I'm going to make a nice pot of tea.
Dear Clopas, always such a tower of strength in a crisis.
If only she knew. Goodness knows what will happen next. Anything could happen, and probably will.
Clopas, Mary, where are the others? We've seen angels. They say he's alive.
Just, alive?
Just yes. What I said.
Angels?
Yes. They said, why are you looking for the living in the place of the dead?
The light was dazzling. We were terrified.
They said, it's what he told you, that he'd be crucified by sinful men and be raised up on the third day.
My dear ladies, you must calm yourself. You've all been under terrible strain.
They said we were to tell you all, and Peter.
He's not there!
The tomb is empty!
Did you see them?
See who?
The angels.
Angels? No angels.
But we did. They said that Jesus has risen.
They were right there in the tomb with us.
Well, we saw no angels. The grave clothes, yes, but no body.
They said we were to tell you all. They mentioned you especially, Peter.
Me?
Peter, we must get over to Bethany to tell them something's afoot. We need them right here, right now.
I'm right with you.
Oh, no, now, what did I tell you?
I see the Lord, I tell you, right there, outside of the tomb.
Outside? You mean he's alive?
Well, of course he's alive. I thought he was the gardener.
The gardener?
I need that cup of tea.
Yes, I couldn't see clearly at first. I was so upset. So I said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him.
Well?
Well, that's when I knew. He only said one word, but that's when I knew.
Go on, go on.
But he just called my name, Mary. Oh, that voice, so full of love, just as it always has been. And then he told me to go and tell you that he is ascending to his Father and to your Father, to his God and to your God.
Oh, this is all beyond belief.
No, it's true, I tell you. I have seen the Lord.
Listen, John's quite right. We've got to tell the others. We must get them back here at once.
I'll come with you. Peter, John, it's best you wait here with the others. Who knows what will happen next?
Clopas, you do believe us now, don't you?
My dear, Peter's quite right. It's all beyond me too.
This waiting's driving me mad. We can't stay in Bethany cooped up like this.
We've got to get back to the others.
It's dangerous, but I agree.
We might as well, I suppose. Like I said, when we set out for Jerusalem, let's go with him so we can die with him.
Dear Thomas, always so cheerful and optimistic.
We've seen the Lord!
We've seen the Lord!
We've seen the Lord!
Salome, whatever's the matter?
We've seen Jesus.
You've done what?
We've seen him. He met us as we were coming here.
You mean he's alive?
No way.
It's true. It's true, we tell you.
We were coming here to tell you that Mary had seen him outside the tomb, spoken to him, and now he's met us.
Are you sure you're feeling all right, Mother?
All right? Of course I'm all right.
He told us to tell you you're going to meet him too.
God have mercy, after the way we've all failed him.
He told us not to be afraid. He was as loving as ever.
You must all come back with us at once. The others are all waiting.
Looks like you're going to get your wish, James.
Are we all agreed then? We'll get to the bottom of this, if it's the last thing we do. Come on, let's put our lives into the hands of God. After you, Mother.
Whoever thought we would live to see this day?
To think that you ladies have seen him. Well, we men haven't.
Tell us again, Mary, what exactly happened outside the tomb?
Well, I must have got back there just after John and Peter left it. And that's when I saw them. These two figures sitting there. They were dazzlingly bright, and they must have been angels. It was almost as though they were waiting for me.
There, I told you we saw angels.
Well, Peter and I didn't.
Go on, Mary.
So I told them. They've taken the Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him. And at that moment, I turned around and I saw him.
You mean Jesus?
Yes, yes, but I was far too confused then to realise who he was.
Did he say anything?
Yes, he asked me why I was crying, and he wanted to know who it was I was looking for.
So?
So I told him, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll get him. I thought that he was the gardener.
And then?
And then I shall never forget it. He called my name, Mary. It was his voice, just so full of love as it always has been, and there was absolutely no mistaking it. And I just cried out, my dearest teacher. I don't think anyone could have hugged him more than I did at that moment.
And what did he say to that?
He said, you mustn't cling to me. I have not yet returned to the Father. But go and tell my brothers that I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And so that's what I did.
Astounding. Beyond belief.
Yes, but you do believe me now, don't you, Matthew? After all, Mary and Salome have seen him too.
Yes. Tell us about that, Mother.
Well, it was just after we left them all here to fetch you from Bethany. We'd just heard Mary's astounding news. We'd just reached the Mount of Olives when we saw this figure approaching, and before we were close enough to recognise him, we heard that wonderful voice, greetings. There was no mistake in it, or him. It was Jesus, no two ways about it.
Praise God!
And that's just what we did. We fell at his feet and worshipped him. But we were terribly afraid. You could feel the power of heaven all around.
Go on.
Well, he knew exactly how we felt. That's why he said, don't be afraid. And you know, as soon as he spoke those words, we weren't anymore. All our fear just vanished.
That's just what Jesus said to us when we witnessed his transfiguration. We were terribly afraid then too.
And he told us to go and tell you that he's going before you to Galilee and that you will see him there.
It's a great pity that Peter isn't here to hear all this. Where did he say he was going?
I think he just wanted to be left alone. You know just how desperately upset he's been. He considers it's all his fault.
The poor boy.
Actually, I think it's best that he hasn't heard all this. He doesn't think that after all that's happened, Jesus would have any time left for him. No chance of him seeing Jesus. And after all, none of us men have anyway.
Shh! Not a sound! I'll go check!
It's Peter!
Peter,
come in quick!
What's up, Peter? You look as if you've seen a ghost.
A ghost? No. I've seen Jesus.
You've done what? You've seen the Lord, Peter. Is that what you're saying?
Look, don't press me, folks, but yes, that's it.
Can you tell us about it, Peter? The ladies have just been telling us of their experiences today.
No, I can't. I really can't. Look, please excuse me. I just want to be alone.
Well, well, well. After all you were saying, John, looks as if you ladies were right all along.
Not a sound. I'll go check.
It's Clopas.
Clopas? He's meant to be in Emmaus.
Clopas, Astounding news! The Lord has risen and he's appeared to Peter!
My dear, whatever's happened? You're out of breath.
We've seen him. We've walked with him. We've talked with him. We've even eaten with him.
Who on earth are you talking about, man? Pull yourself together. You look about done in.
Well, so would you be if you'd run all the way from Emmaus. It's Jesus, of course. Jesus, he's alive.
Jesus? Jesus.
Well,
you see Jesus?
Where? Calm down, darling. Take your time. Here, come and sit down.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here, have a drink. You must be shattered.
There, dear. Is that better?
Thanks, everybody. What a day! What a day!
Tell us exactly what's happened, Clopas. Mary says she's seen Jesus. The other ladies say they have. Peter says he has. And now you say you have?
Yes. Well, as you know, I went off home this morning and Luke was with me. We hadn't gone very far before a stranger joined us. He asked what we were talking about. It was incredible. He didn't seem to have a clue about what had been happening. We were staggered. Haven't you heard, we said? Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know what's been happening this weekend? And you know what he said? What things? Go on, you tell me.
Just a minute, Clopas. Where had he come from? Did he say?
No, not a word. I think we were so surprised we never thought of asking. Too busy filling him in with everything, I suppose. Haven't you heard about Jesus, we said? He was a great prophet. My word, did he have God's power on him? You should have heard the things he said, seen the things he did. And you know what happened less than a week ago? Our chief priests and rulers had him arrested and condemned to death. And they crucified him last Friday, just 3 days ago. And you know what? We had so hoped that he was God's promised one. The one that we Jews have been waiting for centuries.
Hadn't he heard anything about all this?
No. No. Now, where was I? Yes. We told him about this morning and how some of you ladies had gone to the tomb and couldn't find his body. And how you'd come back saying you'd seen visions of angels who'd said that he was alive.
We certainly did, that's for sure.
And John, we even told him how you and Peter had raced to the tomb and found it empty, like the ladies had said. And the body was gone, we told him. But they didn't see any angels.
He must have been staggered.
Oh, you just wait. I haven't finished. You see, up to now, we had been doing most of the talking. But now, my... Do you know what he called us? Fools. You're so foolish, he said. You're so slow to believe all that the prophets predicted about the Messiah. So, Jesus couldn't be the Messiah because of all these things that happened to him, eh? Are those the reasons why you can't believe? Well, let me tell you, he said. Those are the very reasons why you should believe. Don't you realize that everything you've just been telling me about has been clearly predicted in the scriptures? Don't you realize that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer these very things and enter into his glory?
Amazing! I'd never looked at it like that.
And neither had we.
Go on, Clopas. What next? What did he say?
My word, Matt, what didn't he say? He started right there, back at the time of Moses, and worked up through the Psalms and prophets, all the classic quotations, right up to the present day. Had it all to his fingertips. Marvellous. We just gaped at him. I mean, in a way, it was old stuff to us. We Jews have had it pumped into us from the day we started school. The story of the Messiah. We've been brought up on it. We've heard it 100 times. but not the way this man put it over. All those bits and pieces of prophecy, the difficult bits that our priests spend half their lives discussing. He just fitted them together like, well, like one of those jigsaw puzzles, made the whole thing suddenly clear and sort of, well, inevitable. Especially the resurrection.
The resurrection?
Yes, it's the climax of the whole story. The final miraculous piece that makes sense of all the rest. The Messiah comes. Nobody recognizes him. That's what he said. Nobody wants him. He's not the least like what anybody expected him to be. Instead of crowning him king, we execute him. We don't know who he is, so we get rid of him. But Messiah is the conqueror of death. And on the third day, he comes back to establish his kingdom.
The third day! That's exactly what Jesus kept telling us. On the third day, I will rise. My, what fools we've been!
And we all thought that his words couldn't possibly come true now.
Exactly. But you defeat your enemy not by running away, but by standing up to all that he can throw at you and emerging triumphant on the other side.
But our leaders believe that the Messiah cannot die. He's the conqueror of death, they say. What would he have to say about that?
Unless he meets death face to face, how can he conquer it? That's it, Matt. But wait, I haven't finished. You listen to this.
Oh, you haven't told us yet how you saw Jesus, Clopas. We'd almost forgotten about that.
Oh, wait, I'm coming to it. You see, by now we were approaching Emmaus, and disaster! He looked as though he was going further. Well, we'd just got to hear the end of his story. It was as though his words were setting our very hearts on fire. Come on in, we urged him. Come and have a meal with us. It's getting late.
And did he?
Yes, he did. Only something rather unusual happened. We sat down with our guest, but he sort of took the role of the host. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to us. And in that instant, we got it.
Got what?
We recognized him at last. He was no longer a stranger. He was Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah.
Jesus!
Yes, Jesus. He was dead and is alive again. Blessed be his holy name.
Jesus!
Yes, Jesus!
Jesus! You mean he'd been with you all of the time and you just didn't know it?
Yes, that's it. But don't ask me how we could have been so blind. It was as he was explaining the scriptures that it all gradually clicked into place, bit by bit. Everything that the prophets predicted about the Messiah fitted him exactly. A fit for a king, you might say.
So, just what happened at the meal? You all sat down together?
Yes. And he took the bread and blessed it and gave it to us. That was the moment, the final piece of the puzzle. We've shared so many meals with him in the past, and suddenly, here we were doing so again. Incredible, but true.
Well, go on. What happened then?
He disappeared.
Disappeared?
Yes, disappeared. Vanished. One moment he was there, offering us the bread. The next, he was gone.
Just a minute, Clopas. Are you sure you know what you're saying? Vanished? People don't just vanish.
Not ordinary people, Matt. Not ordinary people like you and me. But this is the Lord. He's passed through death itself. He's no longer tied down in time and space like us. Way out there on the other side of death, he is the king in the glory of his kingdom. Why? You can't expect him to be just ordinary, can you?
Well, no.
I mean, it stands to reason. He wouldn't be God if he was like us, would he?
I suppose not.
I think I'm beginning to get it. At the tomb this morning, the grave clothes, they were totally undisturbed. Just as if his body must have passed right through them.
That's it, John. That's it.
As they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them. But they were startled and terrified, thinking they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "This is what is written: the Christ must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And I'm going to send the promise of my Father to you. But wait in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came.
"Thomas! Thomas! We've seen the Lord!
He's been here right with us!
How could you have gone missing?"
"We've all seen him, Thomas!"
"Even I have. My dear friends, whatever's gotten into you?"
"What do you mean, got into us? We've seen the Lord, Thomas! You've missed him by minutes!"
"Oh my goodness. They've cracked under the strain. I'll have to humour them.
Clopas has spent the afternoon with him. So you've all seen the Lord?"
"Yes!"
"Right here in this room?"
"Yes!"
"Right here."
"He's even eaten some of the fish.
And he's only just gone."
"Just gone?"
"Yes."
"Well, let me tell you, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers into them and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it."
A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Stop doubting and believe."
"My Lord and my God."
Jesus told him, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples, which we've not told you about. But we've told you these so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Well, thank you very much, everybody. It's lovely to have you here. Now, I wonder if you spotted that title, Fit for a King. Who is going to tell me what two things were fit for a king? Any ideas? Yes, over there, yes. The tomb. The tomb was fit for a king. And one more. One more. This is the tricky one. Fitting the prophecies together. They fitted together, Jane. Well done. The prophecies fitted the Messiah exactly. A fit for a king, you might say. And the third one. Who's got the third one? Not even the cast have got the third one, because I haven't told them what it is, because it wasn't in the play. It wasn't in the play. So what's the third one? Well, if what we've told you is true, which we believe it is, then what sort of lives should we be living? This is what Peter said, actually. What sort of lives should we be living out of gratitude to God for his great love for us? What sort of lives? Surely our lives should be not fit for a king, but for fit for the king. There we are. Well, wonderful to have you all here, everybody. There are refreshments in the hall next door. Please stay. The cast would love to chat to you. And God bless you all this Easter time. And a very, very blessed Easter to you all. I think the cast deserve another round of applause.